Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 60 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. We're going to be talking a lot of volleyball and basketball today. In a little while, we'll be visiting with former Ankeny basketball star Maddie Manning, who is getting ready to head overseas for her second season of women's professional basketball. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. She is one of the top high school volleyball players in the nation and a senior middle hitter at Ankeny Centennial. She has twice been named to the elite all-state team and is a two-time all-tournament selection in Class 5A. The Wisconsin recruit was also named a second-team All-American last year by PrepVolleyball.com after helping the Jaguars to their fourth state title in 5 years. She is Devin Robinson. Devin, thanks for coming in today. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, good. Well, I know you've had a busy summer. In July, you went out to Colorado Springs at the U.S. Olympic Training Center to compete for a spot on the U.S. Girls Youth National Team, and you were one of 12 players selected for the team that will represent the U.S. at this year's FIVB Girls Under-18 World Championship set for September 5th through the 14th in Cairo, Egypt. You must be pretty excited to get another overseas trip, huh?
Yes, I'm really excited. Last year going to Honduras was a great experience, and it brought me really close to all the girls on the team, and I'm really excited to get an even bigger experience in Cairo.
Sure. Well, yeah, of course, last year you helped the team to the gold medal there over in Honduras. You know, so let's talk about that experience a little bit. I'm sure you didn't know what to expect going into that competition, but you guys really ended up, you know, dominating that tournament. You know, did that surprise you a little bit?
Just a little bit. I thought the competition was going to be really hard, but we just rose to the occasion and we didn't drop a set. Everybody was on the same page, wanted the same thing, so it was easy to get out there and just do our game.
Now, when that team was put together, you know, you had 12 girls from all over the country trying to come together to make a cohesive unit. Now, I imagine you'd come across some of those girls before at some various competitions, but did it take you guys a while to develop some chemistry?
Not at all. It's easy to combine together with girls that all want the same thing and have the same work ethic, and it's easy to get along.
Well, you're one of 9 repeat selections to this year's national team, so obviously most of the team is returning intact. You know, do you think that will make things easier for you guys?
Yes, since we played with each other last year and we're already so close, it's going to be a little easier to bring in the other girls to have that same chemistry.
Well, I imagine you guys will be the favorite going into the tournament. You know, which countries do you expect to give you the biggest challenge?
Well, Italy won it all last year, so they're our biggest competition, I think, so far, and we play them first, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, I'm guessing you've never been to Egypt before. You know, are you looking forward to seeing some pyramids?
Yes, I'm looking forward to take some pictures with those pyramids.
Now, when you first started playing volleyball as a little girl, you know, did you ever think that the sport would allow you to travel to places like Honduras and Egypt?
Well, when I was younger, not to sound like cocky or anything, but whenever I played a sport, I was like, I'm going to go professional in it. So I just always wanted to be at the highest level. Like in seventh grade, I was like, I'm going to go to the Olympics one day. And now I'm like on the path to go to the Olympics.
I was going to say, you're on the right track. So, well, Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman Mortgage, the Midwest's premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you're looking to upgrade, whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, we have security, experience, and unmatched service. Visit our Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, we're visiting with Ankeny Centennial volleyball player Devin Robinson. Well, Devin, you're obviously going to miss some high school matches in order to go to Egypt, but you know you were in that same situation last year, and the team did just fine without you, and then you made a smooth transition back into the lineup once you returned. Are you confident that your teammates will be able to pick up the slack while you're gone?
Yes, I have a lot of confidence in my teammates. I know it's like a whole new team, but I know everybody wants to get out there, wants to make it to state. So everybody's in the same mindset. So,
now, how have the practices been going thus far?
The practices have been good. We've just been slow and steady. It's going to take time to get better. Like, we won't be last year's team. Like, we're like not at all going to be like them. Like, this is our season. Like, it's different this year, so everybody has their own journey, and this is ours.
Well, you're one of only 3 returning players with varsity experience for the Jaguars. You know, are you trying to be a leader for the team this year?
I am. Like, since I have the most experience, and just go out there and try and show all the new girls, like, how it's done.
Now, last year, you really didn't have to be, a go-to player for the team because there were so many other talented players around you. You know, do you think you're ready to take on a larger role this season?
I do, since all the other senior girls that were there last year, like Kenna Sauer, Ari Winters, they were really good leaders for me, so I was able to pick up some tips from them, and I feel like I'm ready to lead this team.
Well, of course, Kenna and Ari have been teammates of yours for such a long time. I know you guys are good buddies. Does it seem weird to be out there playing and not having them there now?
It is weird. It's just like when a couple days ago I was thinking about, I was like, oh, Ari, you got it, but like Ari's not there, so... And it's weird seeing them out there, like, in their college jerseys out there representing their college now because they're growing up.
Well, you'll have your chance to do that next year. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Well, your Centennial program has been so accustomed to competing for state championships, and even though you guys, you know, have an experienced team this year, I'm guessing the goal is to still get back to Cedar Rapids and contend for another crown, isn't it?
Of course. It's always the goal, but it's going to be a little tougher this year.
Do you think there are some players on this team, though, that might surprise some people this year that maybe have been waiting in their wings for a chance to play?
Yes, we have a lot of surprising girls. It's going to, like, everybody has their own little thing that they do well, and a lot of those little things help us, like, reach our big goals. So.
Well, I mentioned that you're a Wisconsin recruit, and you've been committed to the Badgers for a long time. Have you had very many opportunities to go up there and visit and try to get to know some of your future teammates?
The last time I went there was in July for – like a volleyball camp, and I got to meet all the recruits and all the new commits that were there, so that was fun.
Well, I'm sure you're excited to take your game to the next level. Do you think you'll have a chance to play right away next year?
Well, I have a 6'8 middle, Dana Recchi, there, who I really look up to, but I hope to better my game and earn my spot to play.
Yeah, you don't see too many 6'8 players in the CIML, do you?
Yeah.
What do you think is going to be the biggest adjustment for you to play, you know, at Wisconsin?
Just keeping up with the gameplay and the speed of the game and, like, the new, like, I don't know, the way the game is played at the college level, like, that's probably going to be my biggest struggle.
That's a lot faster, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Devin, thanks a lot for coming in today. Good luck, this year with the Jaguars and also on your trip over to Egypt. I'm looking forward to seeing how you're doing over there. So we'll be talking to you later this season.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Revive Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive has a large menu of aesthetic procedures, including Botox, cosmetic fillers, hydrofacials, cool sculpting, laser hair removal, Forever Young photofacials, halo, and a medically supervised weight loss program. Dr. Steph is now offering hormone pellet therapy for men and women. She has over 15 years of aesthetic experience and 30 years in the healthcare field. Her staff is top-notch and the best in the industry. They give every new patient a complimentary consult that includes a Visia skin analysis valued at $200. Revive Clinic and Spa is conveniently located at 1850 Southwest Plaza Shops Lane in South Ankeny by the new Hy-Vee. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, my next guest is the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial volleyball team, and last year she guided the Jaguars to the Class 5A state title, her fourth crown in six seasons at the school. Her team is busy right now getting ready to open the season on August 31st at the Centennial Invitational. She is Jessica Reinhardt. Jessica, thanks for coming in today. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, I know you're only into the middle of the second week of your practice, so I'm sure your team is still very much a work in progress. But how are the practices going thus far?
Going well. It's fun to make it official practice. We do a lot of stuff in the summer, but the last week and a half has felt more real, and team's working hard.
Well, I know you guys do a team bonding exercise every year in the preseason, and I saw a photo on Twitter yesterday that looked like you guys were doing some fun things. So where did you go, and what were you guys doing?
We went to Wild Hills Ranch in St. Charles, Iowa. It was really great place, and, I mean, some of the things we do there are fun. Where there was a blob. They were jumping off the blob and flying people into the water. And then other things we do are set goals, talk about our mission for the season. The girls do some skits, so they're working together a lot, and it's just a good way for them to get to know each other, especially with our team this season when we're so young and new.
Sure.
So it was awesome.
Well, I know you've had some other major rebuilding jobs with some of your other teams, and you've still been able to come back and play at a very high level the following season. You know, but this year you have to play so many standouts from last year's team, including three Division I players, and now you return only three players with any varsity experience. Do you think this is the most inexperienced team you've had at Centennial?
It probably is. Yep, it's the least amount of returners that we've ever had, but they're working hard.
Well, the good news, though, is that you return one of the nation's top players in Devin Robinson, so it's nice to have a player like her to build around, isn't it?
It is. You like to think that she's going to give us a chance, you know, to do some big things again this season. We unfortunately won't have her for the first half of our season, but that can also be a good thing, where the other kids get to work hard to get better, and we'll learn how to compete without her. And then hopefully when we get her back, we'll be even bigger and better and stronger.
Sure.
Then we add her to the mix and hopefully fly.
Well, now as dominant as Devin has been at times, you know, she only placed third on your team last year with 225 kills. And part of that can be attributed to the fact that she missed some matches early in the season, you know, to play with the U.S. national team in Honduras. And we'll talk more about that here in a minute. But it was also because Devin was surrounded by some other great players like Kenna Sauer, Ari Winters, Megan Lively, you know, list goes on and on. You know, she didn't have to be a go-to player for you guys, you know, but I'm guessing this year, you know, she's going to have to take on a much larger role. Do you think she's ready for that?
I do think she's ready. She's excited, and you know, we've looked at putting her on the outside as well to see if we can get her some more balls, as well as staying in the back row. I mean, one reason Kenna Sauer had so many kills is we used her front row and back row. So we intend to do that with Devin this season, and I think she's ready for that role.
So she won't just be in the middle then all the time, right?
We don't think so.
Yeah. Yep. I figured you'd have to move her around a little bit, so.
Yep.
We've obviously coached a lot of great players in your career, and I'm not going to ask you to rank them or compare them, but Devin brings a level of athleticism, you know, to the court that I'm not sure you've had before. She's kind of a physical freak, isn't she?
She is a freak. I've never – athletic bodies like her don't come along ever or often, you know, and we are very lucky to have her, and she is physically really gifted. But, yeah, we've also had a lot of amazing players in this program, and it's quite fun.
Well, I mentioned that Devin played on the U.S. girls youth national team that won the gold medal in Honduras last year, and that allowed the U.S. to qualify for the 2019 girls under 18 world championship, you know, next month in Egypt. And Devin was one of 9 repeat selections to the squad, so she'll be leaving in a couple of weeks, you know, to head overseas. You know, that's just an incredible opportunity for her, isn't it?
It is. It's amazing. It, you know, again, it happens maybe once in a lifetime in your program to have somebody that has those opportunities, and so we're excited for her. It's great that, you know, she made it last year, but the coaches always make sure that players are improving or they don't just automatically get selected to go on the team again. So it shows that she's continuing on the track, you know, that they want her to continue on. So I think it's a great opportunity for her.
Well, last year you guys had to play without Devin while she was in Honduras, and I believe that's when you suffered one of your 3 losses on the season. But you had such an experienced team around her that you guys really didn't, you know, even skip a beat. You know, are you a little more concerned about how the team this year is going to be able to handle, you know, her absence?
Yeah, it's going to be more challenging. We don't have people on the court with experience. But again, like I said, it could be a blessing, especially down the road if we want to do what we want to do and make it to state and make a run there. It will force everybody to take more sets and to grow and to be challenged. And so I think it can be a great thing for us.
Well, the inexperience, of course, is going to be one issue for you. And then I was looking at your schedule, you know, and your team's going to see some tough opponents, you know, while Devin is gone. You're going to host Omaha, Nebraska Marion on September 5th. And that's a team that defeated you in 5 sets a year ago, even when Devin was on the court. And then you'll play in the Iowa City High Invitational on September 7th and the Southeast Polk Invitational on September 14th. You know, so you guys are definitely going to be challenged, aren't you?
It is. If there is a way to do our schedule different early on, you know, with an inexperienced team, I would, just because this is like stepping into fire. But it's also a way to get better and learn where you're at and learn our weaknesses and the things we need to improve on. So, yes, we will be challenged, but hopefully we learn from all the challenges and only continue to get better.
All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time home buyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending in the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 for any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. Well, we're visiting with Ankeny Centennial volleyball coach Jessica Reinhart. Well, Jessica, let's talk about some of your other players. You have a couple more with some varsity experience in Callie Jones and Karenna Larson. You know, I'm sure you're counting on those two girls to become major contributors for you as well this year, right?
We are, yep. We expect them to be leaders as well as produce on the court.
Now, Callie, I know, has battled some injuries in the past that have slowed her down a little bit, and she missed a large chunk of the track season as well. Is she healthy now?
So far, she's been healthy all season for us. She's strong. She's working hard, and, yeah, she hasn't had any injuries slow her down.
Well, who are some other players that have emerged for you that will likely play some key roles for you?
Liv Anderson is going to be on the outside. She's a sophomore, and she's really physical. And at the beginning of the beginning of the summer, she was a little wild, but she's dialed that in, and she's making some great shots. And she looked awesome at the scrimmage the past weekend. So she's done a really great job so far. Kinsey Carruth will probably be in our libero spot. She's a hard worker. She's got quick feet, and she's really emerged throughout the summer and in our scrimmages that we've had over the past couple of weekends. So we're impressed with what she's doing and likely to be a big contributor for us as well.
Do you think this is a team that will play a lot of different players, or do you think you'll narrow it down to like a 7 or 8 player rotation, or is it too early to tell?
I think it's too early to tell. I think in some spots we will be rotating players through early on, you know, to see who can produce and compete at that high level. But we did a lot of juggling this summer, and so we had opportunities to see everybody play. I think when you juggle your lineup a lot, it becomes hard to get that consistent flow and build those relationships on the court. So hopefully a couple weeks into the season, we kind of lock it in into each position and just roll with the lineup.
Do you think this year's team will resemble some of your other teams, you know, in terms of style of play? You know, or do you think because this team is going to be so different in terms of personnel that it will look, you know, considerably different?
We hope to look the same. We like to compete. You know, we like to be the hardest working team out there. And when somebody walks in a gym, I want them to see that our team's scrappy and touches every ball. And, you know, hopefully this team resembles that as well. I know it's one of their goals. I think we'll be the loudest team. We hope to be the loudest team. I think that really helps you have an edge on your competition when you're always communicating. And so I think those pieces will be there with this team as well.
What's going to be the key for this team to reach its potential?
We're going to have to be willing to work. You know, we've got to work to get better every single time. You know, we talked about it. We need to be a little bit patient and learn the lessons we need to learn along the way and continue to grow from them. And so I think staying persistent, keeping in mind the end goal and working towards that on a daily basis, and just fitting the pieces together, you know, with a new group, learning how to compete in tough situations and competitive situations. I think there's going to be a lot of learning that happens, but as long as we keep the right attitudes toward it, I think this team can do big things.
Well, your program has lost only 31 total matches in your 6 seasons at Centennial, and that's barely 5 losses per year. Your teams have never lost more than 9 matches in any season. You know, that's obviously a very high bar to live up to. Do you think this team, you know, can continue that kind of success, or do you think it's likely that this team is probably going to suffer some losses early on?
I think it's hard to say until we really start competing. And, you know, with as tough a schedule as we do have, I tried to schedule opponents, and we have a couple different opponents in Omaha that are top 3 teams, and we hadn't always had those. So I think right now it's hard to say, but I think by the end of the season we'll look the way we want to look from all the tough matches along the way.
And even if you do suffer a few losses along the way, sometimes you can learn some things from those losses, right?
Every year when the season's concluded, we've been grateful for our losses. And we didn't like them at the time. They felt awful. But when we look back, we probably wouldn't have won state without learning what we needed to learn from those opponents. So I think I joked that I was going to get a shirt that said, "I love losing," which everybody knows I don't.
Yeah.
but I think you can learn valuable things from them.
For sure. Well, of course, one of the teams that we'll be looking at to dethrone you guys is your crosstown rival, which returns a lot more experience than what you guys have. And Ankeny will be coached again by longtime coach Dave Wims, who returns to the program after being away from the sport for 4 years. You know, how surprised were you by his return to coaching?
I wasn't totally surprised. He's stayed in it. We've stayed friends, you know, when he wasn't coaching Ankeny, and I know he still had a passion for it, and so I was happy to see him back there. I know he'll do a good job with them. They look great the other night, the other Saturday when we scrimmaged them. So, yeah, they're going to be tough.
Well, I haven't seen any preseason rankings yet. I don't know if any of them are out, but who are the teams in the CIML or across the state, for that matter, that you think, you know, have a chance to contend for the state title this year?
I think Cedar Falls, of course, they return everybody, and they were in the finals last year. They've been consistently good. Valley, Dowling, Ankeny, they all return a lot of players. They've all had a lot of success in the past. We've seen them throughout the summer. They're solid teams, but even when we've competed with who we perceive to be the best teams, we haven't been far away with a young team. So hopefully we can be up there too.
Yeah, I imagine Cedar Falls will be pretty motivated this year after losing in the final last year.
Yes. I imagine that were a target, or getting back to state is a target, and I'm guessing they're working hard to get another shot at it.
All right, Jessica, well, thanks a lot for coming in today. Good luck this season.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether you're looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gershman Mortgage has an expert to assist you. They help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs. When you're buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance, Gershman Mortgage will be there every step of the way. Visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. All right, my next guest is a former Ankeny basketball standout who enjoyed an outstanding career at the University of Oklahoma before moving on to the professional ranks, where she is now playing in Europe. She is Maddie Manning. Maddie, thanks for coming in today. How are you doing?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. Doing good.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have you. Well, I know you're very busy. We had a real hard time trying to find a time that would work for the podcast. So thanks for making it work. Last week didn't work out because you were busy working at the fair. So what were you doing down there?
Actually, my family, we're pretty involved in it ever since my great-grandparents have been there. We have the LL Family Food Center.
Okay.
But I just do things around. My uncle has a place in the middle of the fair, so just help out around there and do whatever I can.
I know you guys also had a family reunion one day there at the fair. So what was your favorite thing to do at the fair?
Oh, my goodness. There's so much. We actually go out there every single day. Probably just stuff like my family reunion. And I know there's always going to be family out there. So going to see shows, grape stomping, doing all those things every year.
Well, before we talk about the upcoming basketball season and where you'll be headed, let's go back to last season. After you graduated from Oklahoma, you played your first season of basketball overseas last year. So where did you go play, and how did the season go for you?
Yeah, I was in Switzerland last year. Really, it was a pretty challenging season in terms of the competition level. It was the first time. It was a big difference in college basketball, I guess I would say, which was probably good for my career looking back on it. Because I had to learn, I mean, I think it's no secret to anybody that's followed my career, I had to learn how to kind of take over games and score and really be the only scorer, being the other American on our team. So while it was challenging, I think it will help me going on to this next year.
Well, you obviously played against a high level of competition in the Big 12, but you did find this to be a jump up from that?
No, this was definitely not competitive.
Gotcha,
yes,
gotcha.
Not as competitive as the Big 12, which was expected. They just don't have quite the development that we have in the United States from a young age, so it was expected.
Now, was the language a barrier for you over there, or not so much?
It really wasn't for me. I was in a pretty big city near Geneva, which is a big international business area, so they actually spoke a lot of English. But people that were in smaller villages had a difficult time with that.
Now, did you say you were the only American or the only other American on the team?
Yeah, so you can have two, they call you imports. You can have two imports, which were Americans, so me and another girl who was actually from Oklahoma and played high school basketball with a lot of my college teammates, so that was kind of cool.
So that kind of helped to have someone like that, you know, obviously you have a lot in common with?
Absolutely, and to have someone, I mean, you're both from the Midwest. You kind of understand each other's lifestyles a little bit. That was huge. I mean, you literally spend every waking hour of the day with them. You live with them, you walk to practice with them, you do it all. So to have somebody that you really get along with, and she's one of my best friends now. So
Now, do you guys live with like a host family or something, or do you have to make your own arrangements?
No, the team makes all the arrangements for you, but we are in an apartment. We got there, I think at 7 a.m., they drove us to our apartment. We were there in 40 minutes, and they kind of just threw you in the middle of a city and kind of sit there and look around like, oh, my goodness.
Like, I bet.
In the middle of a city who doesn't speak my language. I mean, their first language is not my language. So it's kind of scary at first.
How was the food over there?
The food was fantastic. Our club actually had this deal where, with a couple of restaurants where they'd feed us every meal. And we were really lucky to have some very good restaurants, some of the best restaurants in our area, and made good friends with them so they'd cook the food we like.
Well, that's good. So then what was your role on the team? You know, a starter? You said you had to learn how to kind of take over games?
Right. I played on a very young team. They had some stuff go on the year before us, and a lot of the older girls left. So me and the other American basically did everything. I mean, we brought the ball up the court. We were trusted to rebound, make plays, and really play off each other a lot.
Now, did you get a chance to see, you know, much of Europe, you know, throughout the season? Or, you know, did you get do anything fun, or were you pretty focused on basketball most of the time?
I actually did because the league was less competitive. I actually had a lot of time off. There were less teams than what my next year will be like, but so we had one weekend off every month, and I actually took the, especially the second time I went out there, I took the time to go and visit other countries. I went to London, I went to Spain, I went to Paris, did another trip to France. So that was probably the highlight, another highlight of playing where I did, because I got to see so much, and that's not common when you are so heavily invested in basketball.
Well, I know you've been in Ankeny most of the summer. So what have you been doing to keep your game in shape? Do you try to find some pickup games to play in?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's been the coolest part for me, is coming back here and training with hometown people. And, you know, we have so much here that I don't know if we had when I was in high school. But I'm working out with the Myers Twins, who are also Ankeny basketball players. We play pickup games with them. We get a couple college players from Iowa State to come down. Meredith Burkall, who's also going overseas, was playing with us. And then, again, working out with my old AAU program, jumping in practices with them. So it's very – I don't know if you'd call it loyal, but I really like kind of going back to my roots and working out with people I know.
Well, Matt, I know you've signed a contract to play again overseas this season. You're going to be leaving shortly. So where are you headed now?
I'm headed to Spain next. I'll be northwestern Spain.
Oh, okay. And you feel like this is going to be a better league than the one you played in last year?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this league, actually. I think it will be really comparable to the NCAA. I mean, I'll be playing against some of the best players in the world, some of the best Americans that play in the WNBA are going to be over there. So in terms of opportunity that I have to showcase my talent and continue making strides towards being the best player I can be, it's going to be huge.
Do you know what your role is going to be on this team, or is that to be determined still?
Obviously, it's still to be determined, but talking to the coach, it's going to be the same role as I had in Switzerland. It's going to be to be a playmaker, to be a scorer, and kind of the same thing I've been my whole career, I think, kind of do everything, be a well-rounded player. So,
how do you think it'll be different living in Spain as opposed to Switzerland? Do you think you'll like it better?
I've visited Spain twice, actually. My college team went there for 2 weeks as well to play. And I just love the lifestyle. I love a lot of things about Spain. It's beautiful. I think it'll be similar. I think a lot of Europeans kind of have the same way of life, I guess you could say, but different language. Good thing I took Spanish in high school.
Well, I know in your final year there at Oklahoma, your sixth year, you wrestled with the decision whether to keep playing or to begin your coaching career. You know, I'm guessing you're happy with the decision you made now?
Yeah, I think I am. I think these are things that I'm learning, things that are, one, going to help me in my coaching career, but two, that I would never have the opportunity to do had I not done it right now. You know, a lot of people I talked to always said that you can always go back to coaching, and you're kind of in an internship right now, because that was my biggest thing, was people my age getting ahead of me in coaching, right? Because I'm competitive. I always want to make sure I'm putting in the work, and they're like, you're in an internship right now. I mean, you're learning the game in different styles than you've been taught in America, so... looking at it that way, I think I'm going to be prepared, and I'm experiencing, I'm seeing the world.
We obviously battled, you know, a number of injuries throughout your college career. You even missed two whole seasons due to knee surgeries. So have you been able to stay healthy since you left Oklahoma?
Yeah. The crazy thing about it is that my body feels as good as it has since I left high school, I always say, since my knee injuries. It's kind of a shame. I wish I could have felt like this in college. You know, I feel like an athlete again, I guess. But... again, as long as my body feels good and I feel like I can get a good product out there, then I'll do it.
Now, have you thought about how long you'd like to play, you know, professionally? Will you continue to play as long as the opportunity is there?
I don't know. I think about it often. I get that question often. I don't know. I feel like I'll know. I feel like this year will be a big telling year. Obviously, I want to max my potential in basketball. I think that's the biggest thing. I put so much time into it not to. But then if an opportunity came up in the coaching world that I just couldn't pass up, I'd probably switch over as well.
Well, now I know in men's pro basketball, there have been a lot of players who have started their careers in Europe before eventually landing a spot in the NBA. Former Iowa State player Matt Thomas, who recently signed with the NBA champion Toronto Raptors, you know, would be a good example of that. Now in the women's game, have you seen some players succeed in Europe and then make the jump to the WNBA?
Yeah, I have. You know, and that's kind of why I say this year is a big year for me, because I will be playing against that talent, that level of talent. But the women's game's a lot different. The WNBA is only in the summer, and you're actually starting to see a lot of those players only playing overseas, just because of the pay and everything you could get into. But if I had the opportunity, I think I'd definitely take it, just as a milestone, as a goal that I've always wanted.
So you feel like that's a jump that you could make, you know, at some point?
Yeah, I do. I feel like everybody I talk to, and not only that, but myself, I feel like I'm talented enough to land a spot. You gotta put the numbers up all year long and stay healthy all year long. Like we said, that's been one of my issues. So it's just going after it. It's going after it this year for me.
Well, I imagine you follow the WNBA closer than I do, but I just read a story the other day about Brittany Griner being involved in a brawl, and she talked about how she's been fined so much that she's not making hardly any money this season. And I think you played against Brittany in college at one point. Have you been following what's going on with her?
Yeah, I have. If you're not making that much money, don't get fined, is my opinion. Don't hold yourself back a little bit. But, I do think the only thing I can relate to is that she says referees don't call things for her, so she has to stick up for herself. And, you know, that is kind of what it's like in Europe. It's kind of a known thing that Americans get less calls, and you kind of – well, I'm not as bravado. I don't have the same bravado. I have I'm not going to go out there and fight somebody. But you do got to kind of protect yourself, got to protect your body, because that is your moneymaker.
Sure. Well, you talked about how your goal is eventually to get into coaching, and your preference would be to coach on the collegiate level, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I just love everything it encompasses. I love, working with elite athletes and building a team, figuring out a way to get all those people. I mean, everybody you get is going to be the best of the high school. So figuring out that whole system, getting them all to play well together and putting the best product on the floor.
So have you known for a long time that you've wanted to be a coach?
You know, I think I've always said I wanted to be a coach, just because I've always been so involved in sports that I knew I'd always be around some sport. I mean, I didn't know if I always knew basketball in high school, but I think it changed for me in college once I realized how much of not only is it a basketball thing, but it's a business thing, how holistic the career is, which is really intriguing to me. I don't think I ever want to do just one thing, and I think you get a lot of what I'm built, my business, creativity, a lot of things, you get that out of coaching.
Well, you've played for some great coaches in your career, Scott DeYoung at Ankeny High School, Sherry Cole at Oklahoma. Do you think you'll take some of, their coaching attributes and mold them into your own?
Oh, my goodness, absolutely. I always laugh. I actually work out kids now when I'm home, and I always just sometimes laugh to myself as I repeat something they told me, and maybe I didn't listen to the advice, but now I'm giving it like I can think of one example. Coach Cole at Oklahoma is always like, take two dribbles off this ball screen before you make a decision. And I always thought I could make the decision in one dribble.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm telling kids, take two dribbles. So it's just funny.
Well, speaking of Sherry Cole, I know the Oklahoma staff underwent some changes in the offseason after the Sooners' run of 19 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances came to an end. A couple of their longtime assistant coaches, departed to pursue some opportunities outside of basketball. Were you surprised to hear that they were leaving?
I was. Within my last couple of years, just talking to them, I could tell that they too, like how I mentioned, I don't want to do just coaching. I think they were kind of starting to be pulled towards that. Not that they were not 100% in with me and with teaching me and our whole team. But it's still surprising. I went back this summer to go visit everybody, and they're not in the coaches' offices. And, that's something I did. I always showed up to practice, an hour early, and walk through the coach's office, sit in their offices, and chat with them. So, really for future kids, and I'm sure that I haven't met the two new assistants, but I'm sure they're awesome, as Coach Cole picked them. But, I just feel bad that those kids don't get the opportunity to go sit there and talk and just learn more stuff than basketball from them.
Sure. Well, I know you told me that you're going to be leaving next week to head overseas. So does the season start right away, or do you guys have like a couple weeks of training camp or something?
We have a couple weeks of training camp, and then we actually have a series of three opening games. So they don't count for your schedule. I've been told it's going to be an intense 2 weeks of conditioning and getting everything. And then really our actual season starts in October.
Oh, okay, and how long does the season last, and how many games do you guys play?
So you really only end up, after October, you really end up playing one game a week. I don't know what that calculates out to. It's probably like 30 games, close to a college season. But we would play till April, and then after that would be playoffs and all that stuff.
Oh, okay. Of course, like in the NBA, they play 80 games. Could you imagine playing 80 games in a season?
No, I could not.
I don't know how those guys' bodies hold up.
Right, that's what's amazing to me is how old they are and how their bodies hold up. But it's a full-time job for them. I mean, all day they're working on their body.
Well, Maddie, best of luck to you. They're over in Spain, and thanks for coming in today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Ankeny office at Iowa Realty closed in excess of $250 million in real estate in 2018. Their agents represent over 20 new construction builders and communities all over the metro. With interest rates at historic lows, would you like to know what your home is worth in today's market? If so, you can give them a call at 453-5800. That number again is 453-5800. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.